Welcome, everybody, to the Daily Hi-Fi Podcast. We do this every Monday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern. My name is Chana. With me, as always, we've got Mr. Joe and Tell.
What's up?
I just don't want anyone to say, sounds like someone's got a case of the Mondays. But if you do, you've come to the right place because we're going to come at you with a whole bunch of fun and excitement about the audio video. Woo!
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
All right. There's this boo.
We got Victor Boyd. What's up? What's up, Van Gool? Mr. Fred is in the house. Ask Matt. What are we asking? We asking.
I know. He said, "What's up, players?"
Yeah. We got negative Nancy in the house. Aaron's audio corner. Wendell, what's up, buddy? How are you doing? Billy P in the place to be. It's a Monday. I woke up early, man. I had to be across town at like 8 a.m.
Oh yeah.
not pleasant. Not pleasant. Monday. Purple face crying. Hey, FOMO is in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, FOMO?
How are you, buddy? I tried to call you the other day.
Oh, that's messed up. You didn't answer?
He didn't. You know, he's a busy guy, dude. He probably didn't want FOMO. So.
Woo!
Yeah. But yeah, because I'm, you know, tis the season. Yes, right. Ho, ho, ho.
Well, the problem with, like, once you get a hold of FOMO, though, then the conversation is going to be like
3 hours.
3 hours. I don't know if that's his fault or my fault. One of our faults.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Uh-oh. All right. FOMO, I'm texting you now.
Or no. Okay. He changed it. Okay. All right.
It's in the Twitter chat with the TV guys. What's the new number so I can delete the old one?
So, I don't have too many topics to discuss today.
Okay. How about we talk about the schedule? So next week is Christmas Day. So we're not going to have a show Christmas Day.
No, I'm going to be busy.
Yeah. Okay. How about January 1st? That's the next Monday. Scratch that out too?
I don't know. I mean, what do you usually do on New Year's Day? Like during the day? Is it like
during the day? It's like
around this time. Are you partying already, or what?
No,
up?
I mean, usually I am. I would. That's FOMO. Okay, got it. Usually I'd be DJing the night before, so I'm you know, during the day. You know, about this time, 4 o'clock on a New Year's Day, 4 p.m. Probably nothing. Probably just hanging out
for the night, or what?
Yeah, just chilling.
So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I don't really think I have any plans New Year's Day, so might be open for that.
Okay. What's up, the bad guy? Billy P is already starting out with a question. Any good 65-inch OLEDs for $1,500? You know what? Billy P in the place to be. There is a 77-inch OLED for $1,800. So, which one do you want, bro? Do you want the small one? You want to go bigger?
Someone wants to go bigger.
Sorry.
What?
It's still on sale, bro. 77-inch LG OLED B3 is $1,800. So if you want a 65-inch OLED, $300 more, bro, and you're at that 77 life. You know what I mean? I mean. See, look at that. Look, sale, $1,100 off. Can you believe this, Joe? Look, it's a $3,000 TV. Now, it's the B series, which means it doesn't have, like, the current processor. Damn, dude, if you're looking at size. The magic bean has entered the building.
I didn't know you were in blue. Magic bean. Magic bean.
As he comes. I guess it's not.
It's horrible. Yeah, right. Can you believe it? I do nothing New Year's Day. Yeah, here it is, Bodhi. 77-inch. It's on Best Buy. It's at Amazon. Let me know, and I'll drop an affiliate link when I can, if you're trying to get it. I was down there at Best Buy the other day, and I was looking at, I'm actually thinking about getting this because it's such a good deal. Because I started watching movies here, and this 65 inch just a little too small, you know. So wanted to go bigger. But anyway, there's that. Think about that, Bodhi. What's up, Aaron?
What's up?
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Just finished supper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How
you dinner was
good. I need floss. Okay. I need cookies is what I need.
Oh, yeah.
I need some sweets, too. I don't have anything here.
Oh, you're sweet enough.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
Thank you. Somebody said, hey, do we really need to watch you guys eating? There was one of the comments on one of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, no.
You don't have to watch it all.
You don't have to watch it.
The answer is, yes, you do.
Yeah.
I have food in front of me now because I haven't eaten. So
there you go.
Target has the OLED C3 for $15.99. That's also a good deal, but don't you want a 77 inch for $200 more? Ah, that's. Dude, 77 inch OLED for under $2,000 is a damn good deal. Damn good deal. It's not the C3. So the B3 is basically doesn't have the processor. The B3 does not have the same processor as the C3, right? So you're getting an older processor. But hey, you want a deal, bro? You get a deal, bro. You know what I'm saying? You want to go from 65 to 77? That's an extra foot. That's not even like 10 inches. That's 12 inches. You get the extra 2 inches. Everybody wants them extra 2 inches. You know what I'm saying? So 77 for $1,800 is a steal. FOMO says suggest the S89C2. It's 77 inch QD OLED. Yeah, man. I'm not a you can. Let's see. Okay, let me see what is the let's go to Best Buy here. S89C, that's a Samsung, right? Samsung S89C. Because I'm not a huge fan of Samsung because of the operating system. It is a pain in the butt all the time. It's trying to be smart, and then in doing so, it becomes stupid.
Tell us how you really feel.
That's right. Oh, $2,000. So there it is. So here it is. You know, it's at $2,000. $35.99. Damn. That's the original price. It is a QD OLED. I had a QD OLED from Samsung, and it was super flimsy. Is this one flimsy like that S95C or S95B that I had, FOMO? Let us know. Did Aaron say dinner and not supper? He said supper, and I followed up with how is dinner. So I kind of threw it a curveball there.
Oh, I didn't even notice, man.
See?
I can't keep up with this. Attention. Go too fast for me. Why are we looking at TVs? Who's buying a TV?
I don't know. Billy was asking a question.
So I watched Netflix. I was watching, what is that? What is the American Gladiators one that came out a while ago?
Yeah.
Mayhem or something like that?
Yeah.
And then I also watched another old one because I've been catching up. You know what I mean? There's a list of ones that people recommend. Aaron, I have some from you that you recommended, so I haven't gotten a chance to watch them, but I did get a chance to watch Hustle, right? And it says Atmos on there, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, you guys know I upmix a lot of stuff with Oro 3D, and then we have Reverend Slim here. It's like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. All right, so I always give it a chance, right? So it's super easy for me to just play the video, play the movie. And then what I do is I just turn off my ear level speakers, and I turn off my surrounds, basically just heights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just watch certain scenes that look like they should have some kind of something going on, just by looking at it, right? Like if they're in a gymnasium, I expect to hear some kind of something, right?
Reverberance,
right? Yeah. And a lot of times, just straight silence,
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happening.
Not even crickets.
So I give it a chance. I'll watch like you know, good 20 minutes or so, and see if anything's happening. And if nothing's happening, I'm gonna turn on Oro 3D and make it happen. That's it. So if you're wondering how I make that decision, that's it. just listen to what's happening in the heights and nothing's happening, then
it's time to turn up his ears and he tries it out.
If that's their intention to make it sound unrealistically non-reverberant in the heights, then that's, I guess you can keep that if you'd like. But one button, I can change it up. Anyway, what else is in the news today? Well, this is not necessarily like new news, but Dirac Live Bass Control for Denon and Marantz. So we mentioned that, I don't know, maybe a month ago, but it was kind of like a false start. Like they had it in some of their marketing material, but it wasn't actually ready yet. But now it is. So did you guys check this out? Anybody pick that up? See, Reverend Slim says, I will keep the original mix. You art destroying monsters. There's art, and then there's just, I didn't have time to do it.
And then there's Arbonne.
Yeah, so, you know, if you've ever had an art class, you know, you do your art, and then you present it. You present it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes you didn't have time, so you just present whatever you had, right? That's what happens. They presented it, and they're like, oh, man, that's a C. I give that a C minus. So anyway, back to this Dirac thing. I have the website here.
Okay.
There it is. So this one's for the A1H. I think they have a little discount code too. Is that right somewhere here? Exclusive launch offer. Use the code 30, whatever that says.
BCDM23.
Yeah, they should have catchy ones like ours. You know, for our special, what do we have? Like Stick 15. Stick 15, we have for this, what do we have as 15% off? We have
Earmuffs 15.
See, you got to make it easy to remember. Anyway, so you can use this Dirac Live Bass Control, DLBC. So let's look at the pricing real quick, and then we'll talk real quickly about what it does. Dirac Live Bass Control single subwoofer. So if you have one sub, it's $349. Or if you want, like, if you have nothing, right? Because they have different upgrade paths. If you already have, but it's $499 for the full Dirac Live multi subwoofer. And I would say, you know, I have this, and let me explain real quickly what it does first. So it kind of just takes over all of your bass management, right? So normally you have your room correction, kind of correct your sub, correct your main speakers, and then the AVR sets its crossover, right? And hopefully they cross over real well and they blend and all that. This kind of just takes over all that, right? So each speaker's crossover is, you know, it's taking care of that. So maybe your left speaker to the sub. I'll just talk about one sub for right now. And then your center to the sub. They may have slightly different crossovers, but also different phase alignment. So their thing is to make it so that it blends very seamlessly to that sub.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I missing? If you have multiple subs, it EQs each one independently. So they have slightly different EQ, kind of like a multi-sub optimizer. And so the idea is for you to get the best possible phase alignment between the subs so that they're working nicely together, to optimize for seat-to-seat consistency, right? So each seat will also have good sound, because a lot of times you can make it sound good in one spot, but it's hard to make it sound good in a few different seats.
Mm-hmm.
And so it tries to optimize it. Of course, if you try to optimize for more seats, it always makes one seat worse, right? It's better to optimize for one. That's what I like to do is two presets.
That's where you put the mother-in-law.
Yeah. I want optimize for one seat and then another one. Okay, I have multiple people. Okay, cool. So it does all that. What else? So it's saying here, utilizes machine learning for phase co-optimization.
Does that mean AI? Is it using AI?
I want to go that far.
Learning and AI is not the same.
I think they basically have a good idea of the general like parameters that, you know, kind of like it's probably not going to be this. So it's going to be within this range here. Because with multi-sub optimizer, you may have to let that thing run for 30 minutes straight to get a very good tune, right?
Yeah.
So for each sub. You know, you can run it for 10 minutes also. But if they have, you know, thousands of people uploading, that's a lot of CPU usage to try to figure all that stuff out. So I think they just kind of optimize it so it doesn't have to try to run all the different possible combinations. Has a good idea which combinations to use prior. That's my guess.
Okay.
So the cool thing about it is because Dirac does stuff with phase, let's say you have a null somewhere, right? That's a common problem to have. You have a dip in the response at this one position. And let's say you don't really have anything that can kind of fill that.
Okay.
Right? It can actually work together with other speakers, other subs. So your main speakers can also assist in some way, right? So let's say if you have your subs have a null, I don't know, let's say a dip around 70 hertz, but your speakers, your main speakers are towers and they can go down to 40 hertz or 30 hertz, right? It can actually fill in some of that. So it can use some of the sub, some of this sub over here, and the main speakers, and they can kind of all help out in that region, right? So it's not like you have, I don't know, it's utilizing all of your speakers. Mm-hmm. And Dirac Art is kind of similar. It just goes up to a higher frequency, but that's basically it. It's using all your speakers to try to help out. The only problem I have, the concern that I have is they're not really testing, I don't think, for the max SPL capabilities of each speaker. So let's say, okay, let's say your main speakers can play down to 50 hertz, right? Is it going to assist at 50 hertz at reference volume? I don't know that that's a great idea. Reference 50 hertz or lower? Yeah, it may be able to assist at lower volume, but I don't know that I want it to assist, you know, maybe I want my subs to try to do that. So anyway, it's cool. $499. I don't know what you guys think of the price.
Ooh, $500. Is that for multi-sub?
Bundles, yeah. Room correction, full bandwidth. Oh, what the?
What is that?
Hold on. Do you have to pay for this and that?
Yeah, isn't that what it looks? Direct Live, room correction, limited bandwidth. Then upgrade.
Okay, so that's
limited. So $259 now, $300. Or you would just buy it for $349.
Okay, so buy it $349. Okay, so you have Dirac Live full bandwidth. Okay, that's what I have currently on my NADT778. Okay. They don't have base control on this one. They don't have it as an option. I don't understand. Can you just buy this by itself?
You have to upgrade it from base control single subwoofer. So you have $359 for base control single subwoofer. Then if you want multiple subwoofer, you got to pay $169. So now you're at $500.
I guess what I'm not understanding is like base control multi-subwoofer, you can buy that by itself and not have the normal room correction. Because now it's up to $799.
Yeah. Ooh, what do you think, Aaron? You're the rocket scientist here.
I don't even know what y'all are talking about right
now. Oh my gosh, he's over there eating.
Maybe you guys in the comments can say, what? The $799 is showing the bundle, right? So room correction, full bandwidth, and base control multi-subwoofer.
So that's the two packages. Scroll up again. Scroll up. Okay, so that's the base control multi-subwoofer. So that's at $500, right?
Uh-huh.
And then scroll up, and then it's the $349. So you're getting a little bit of a deal.
Okay. Oh, I guess I'm just surprised that you can buy Dirac Live base control by itself. Right. So this is kind of like their version of multi-sub optimizer. You've heard us talk about that. It's a free Windows app, but it's really pretty hard to use.
Yeah.
You have to be pretty advanced to be able to use that properly and not mess anything up. So they made it kind of like foolproof to do it. I'm just surprised that you can buy that by itself. I don't understand why somebody would buy that and not have Dirac for the rest.
What is the cheapest AVR for that?
The cheapest AVR? Let's take a look. $3,800?
The Denon 3800H is on sale for $1,200. So now you got to put in another $800 to get this. Is that what they're saying? To get both of them? That's like more. That's almost another AVR, right?
Yeah. So there's somebody saying here with the code, it's 350 multi sub. Yeah. So I haven't purchased this. So I don't know personally. I know people and say, oh, you guys should know this stuff. I can't know everything. And, I do have a Monolith HTP1 in for review, and that one comes with it.
Which it comes one? With base control?
Yeah, I think it has base control, has everything like built in. So that's looking like a great deal now. Now that I see the pricing of everything, like that sounds like a great deal.
This is confusing. Okay. $3,800 plus $1,000 for RCFB and BCMS. Jesus. Can we stop with the scroll down?
You want me to scroll down?
Yeah, scroll down.
That's it.
Oh.
What?
That's it. Where were the pricings for that? Did you have to click on
something? Oh, okay. Pricing is...
Hey, why is my name on there? Oh, they're using a quote for me?
It says here, what did you say? He said, no matter what type of room you have, they've got a setup that is tailored for that room. Techno Dad.
Yeah.
There you go. Techno Dad.
I'm like, why does it say Chana Da Silva on their page?
<We're so> odd.
That's not me.
That was funny. Let's see. I assume it's the same price for all of them, right? I mean, it is pretty cool though. It is pretty cool.
It's gross. Red Hot Chili Peppers. What's their best album?
What are you guys saying over here? Tim Perry. So Tim has, I think he has bass control also. Pretty sure. Keeping Up with Joneses says Jontel Magic Beans will be better. Magic Beans, actually, it'll work with Dirac Live and with Dirac Live bass control, because what we're doing is creating a target curve that still works in conjunction with all this stuff. So Multi-Q X is a better deal. It's a manual thing. So it's what, $200, but you still have to know what you're doing. This is more like an automatic system, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't know how to do multi-step optimizer, you don't want to do all the stuff manually, I think it does a pretty darn good job.
Here, Salva says you need Dirac Live. They just put it separate for people that already have Dirac Live can buy bass control separately. So you do need all that.
That's what I thought.
I thought
you would need that first. Yeah.
What up, Netherlands is in the house. What's going on, Pancho? That's a lot of money.
So yeah, basically if you don't have anything, right, you say, okay, I have nothing right now, you wouldn't be able to really just buy. I don't get why they just had it separate though.
Yeah,
I guess if you have one, yeah, they want to show you how much it is.
Yeah, because like, look, if you have the I don't know if it's compatible with the Onkyos and the Pioneers, but those have a regular Dirac, non-live bass control, non-bass control. So then you can buy bass control, and then you can buy this new thing with the multi-sub.
Okay, well, there it is. It's available for the folks with the newer Denon and Marantz stuff. So that's cool. It's an option. Some of you guys are saying it's expensive. I mean, personally, I would have to say, I mean,
you're spending
Dirac has never been cheap, right? Dirac has always been kind of expensive from the get-go. Like the first moment I heard about it and I downloaded the software, I'm like, ooh, I saw the price, like, oh, okay. But I always wanted it, you know. I always heard that it was really good, and since I tried it, I'm like, oh, it is good. So it does work, definitely.
Yep.
Did I try the HTP1 yet? I have kind of.
No,
I've hooked it up. I still got a. It's interesting. You have to hook it up with the Ethernet cable first to even set it up. So Ethernet, I got to have it somewhere where it's
a Wi-Fi dongle.
Yeah, I got to hook it up so that I can connect it via Wi-Fi. Yeah, It's tricky. It's like a little computer. I'm excited, though. Very excited to do that. Hobby is not cheap. Definitely not. There's also some HEOS updates. Did you guys see that? I don't really use HEOS, so.
Here, I got something for you that's not on your site. That's not on your list.
Okay, tell me.
Ready for all of you big ballers out there, shot callers, Trinov Audio for immediate release. This came out today. Begin shipping HDMI 2.1 for both Altitude 16 and Altitude 32 processors. So FOMO, now you can do 4K 120 gaming. They began shipping its award-winning Altitude processor with 2.1 HDMI boards. And then there's like a, you know, some stuff about a refresher. You know, it's got the increased bit rate is only 40 gigabits per second. You see that, ladies and gentlemen, with a $30,000 processor, we still can't get 48 gigabytes per second bandwidth.
Is this thing free or what?
I don't know. This is all I said. This is all I said. It's free.
Well, that would be cool if it was. They've done updates where it's like, here's some extra channels. Access to extra channels. Like they've done that.
Well, here, as of today, so if you get a new Trinov, so Joe, when you get yours next year, next year is a month away. Has begun shipping its award-winning processors with the capable boards. For Altitude units, will be offering a 2.1 upgrade kits at the end of January 2024. All right, there it is.
All right, cool. What else do we have here?
What else?
Aaron, you reviewed the Kefs.
About time. About time.
When you kept saying, you know, that it legitimately goes down to 20 hertz, I was like, that's my type of speaker right there.
Really?
Like, what are the drivers that are letting it go down to 20 hertz? Doesn't look like a big speaker.
On the sides. Yeah, there's a lot of DSP going on in that speaker, man.
So wait, what are the bass drivers? Those ones on the sides, those five and a quarter?
Yeah. Four of them.
Four or five, and they're all active. There's no passive.
Yep. As far as I know. Well, I mean, I'm sure that they're tied to the same channel, right? Like it's so many watts by one, I'm sure. Right. I don't think each one of them is individually powered. But DSP, man.
DSP for the
win. It does have a limit to how loud it gets. That's the only real downside of those speakers. It's just they're not going to get really loud at really far away. But, you know, okay. They're small speakers, though. You look at them, you don't expect you're going to put them in your home theater.
They're not big.
No, they're really skinny. They're like that wide. Like,
yeah.
The driver in it's a 4.5, I think. Or maybe it's a 4-inch coaxial on the front. So it's just basically the width of the driver on the front. Good looking speaker, though, I think.
There it is right there. That's great. Dude, I love it. That looks super cool. So would you kind of say it's kind of like if you had their, what is that little sub that they have?
Yeah.
That little mini sub that they have, like built into it?
KC62?
If they had two KC62s, kind of?
Maybe.
Built into it?
Maybe.
Huh. I wonder, are they connected also like the KC62?
I think so. I believe they are. Yeah.
That's crazy. So it goes down to 20 hertz.
Yeah, the F3 is 23. It doesn't even have an F10. My MATLAB sheet, like script that I have that calculates and creates the plots that'll calculate the F3 and then it'll calculate the F10. It died on me because it couldn't calculate F10 because it's so far below 20 hertz. So I had to like go in and say, if, you know, basically this value exists, then do this thing. If not, skip it.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And would this be a speaker that you'd be willing to keep? Does it not play loud enough for your taste?
That'd be tough. I think in this house, it'd probably be all right. But I think in the next house, I don't think it would be loud enough for me. Mm. I think I need more volume because I'm going to be sitting a little bit further away.
Mm-hmm. Imaging all that was good.
Yeah, imaging all that, tonality is really good. My only ask was that they would allow us to have PEQ in the app. So, you know, if we want to go in just for room mode or something along those lines.
Hit me up, nice. Kef. hit me up. You want magic beans in that? We can set something up.
Magic beans or just magic bean.
Yeah, magic bean. Yeah. I mean, if they have DSP already built in, all I'd need is an ability to import.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. I would love to do that. What else? So I recently reviewed something. And what? It's the with Shauna, the Arendelle 1723 Towers. Let's see. Oh my goodness. Here it is. Here it is right here. Oh, there's you next to it. Hold on a second. Present, share, do. There it is.
That thumbnail, yeah, though.
Look at those. Look at those. Four eighths. Right?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So you reviewed one with 4, 5 1/4, right?
Yeah. That's like a baby compared to these things.
Yeah. So these are passive, right?
Yeah.
They're already 100-something pounds, right? Somebody's saying, oh, wimpy reviewers like can't even lift. I can lift 100 pounds. Give me a barbell. That's no problem. I can do that all day. It's just that these are so awkward when you're carrying the box. You know what I mean? Where's the weight? Where's the center? It's the awkwardness of it. And then try and move it on this. I have like a soft.
That foam. Thing was almost as tall as Joe. Like that's, there's also that.
So it was just awkward to move, right? And there's nowhere to hold. You're like, what are you going to put? Your finger like right into the tweeter? There's no handle. Anyway, these were, you know, they claim, I think, 35 hertz, somewhere around there. But when you look at them, like my expectation was to have 20 hertz. I don't know. Wouldn't you kind of expect that just by looking at them?
Bing and bass and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Just looking at them, I'm like, dude, these are going to be crazy. I mean, they sound good for the most part, other than the bass. And people are like, oh, what's wrong? 35 is good. What do you think 35? Is 35 good?
I mean, Aaron, I know what you're saying. When you look at it, you expect it's going to go a lot lower, so it messes with you.
Yeah. Right? I think that's what we were saying. We're like, our expectation was super high. Just looking at it and moving it, you're like, dude, these are going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're bad. I don't think anybody would be like, oh, the bass is straight garbage on these. No, I'm not saying that. It just
doesn't get as low as it looks like it would.
Not straight garbage. Four eighths. Like sideways garbage.
No, not garbage at all. Not
garbage. I know.
I think the problem is the THX spec. They want that THX certification.
Yeah.
And we've talked about what is it? I don't know what THX means.
Nobody
does. Seems to me that everyone that says THX on the speaker doesn't have a lot of bass.
Yeah.
It seems like that.
No, I agree. Nobody really knows because everybody has to sign NDAs.
Yeah. And my argument is this, and Andrew Jones is the one who told me this. He tuned his speakers kind of low. You know, I think it was a UB5. And he said, I don't always want to listen to my speakers loud, but I always want to hear bass. Yeah. And I agree with that. I always want to hear the bass, regardless of how low I'm playing it. So I think your Kef is kind of like the opposite of that. Like, they chose deep bass extension, and they sacrificed the loudness, right? That's the direction they went. And that's more my style, right? I like that concept. Would you think that maybe you'd be you'd like this one a little bit better, where it plays louder?
I don't know. I mean, so I like the Kef because you don't have to have a subwoofer. I mean, it makes life super easy. Because that's, to me, is a speaker that is probably going to be designed and marketed for people that are trying to have simple setups but sound really good. And that's what it does. It's simple. You don't have to have a subwoofer separately for it.
Yeah, and they did send the subs with them. Do you have one of the big subs?
Dude, I've got one of the small big subs. It's a 1961. They sent the two of those, and those things are big enough as is.
Oh, I have two of those.
Speedwoofer 12, though. That's a big subwoofer. It's like trying to pick it up. It's like doing this.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you've seen it over here. The other one, the 1723, I have the one with a dual 12s in it.
Yeah.
I haven't opened. Well, have I opened it? No.
Yeah, you opened.
Yeah, I have. I took them out of the boxes. They're big, dude. Those are big. Those are bigger than the RSL.
You know, yeah, kind of like what you were saying about people saying, "Well, not that big," but it's one thing to see the weight or the size of a subwoofer. It's another thing to try to have to get it out of the box to carry it around by yourself. Like, it's like I work out pretty consistently. I'm not weak. And those subwoofers are a pain in the butt to move around. Got nothing, yeah. Nothing so far has beat the Monolith 13, though. That thing. I remember I took it out. When I got it out of the box, I actually took the driver out just to make it easier to move around. Because it was just me. Nobody else was there to help me carry it around.
Yeah, this one is close, though. I'm telling you, these 1723s are close in because it's the HDF thing again. It's the whole HDF, right? Yeah. So you got two, and this is worse. It has two 12s in it, right? So you can imagine weight-wise. Anyway, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that I think that their route is, let me sell you the subs. I don't need the towers to go down to 20 hertz. We have subs for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've, of course, the combination, I think, is going to sound pretty awesome. Yeah. I'm excited to hear all of it together. I did watch a movie at the theater. I watched that, I don't know, whatever that Hunger Games with the snakes, something snakes.
Snakes on a plane?
Snakes on the plane. Yeah, yeah. I
know that name.
Yeah, my, Angela wanted to watch that because she read some of the books and stuff. And our theater actually sounded pretty good. It actually sounded good. Like, you know, I was critical. I'm like, let's see how this sounds. Bass was there. Sounded smooth. Everything sounded pretty good. I was actually surprised that the black levels weren't perfect. I could see some bar. I was like, hey, that looks like my BenQ HT4550i. That's like...
That's what they're using.
And that's probably, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Zoomed all the way.
I stopped by Hi-Fi Buys in Nashville this weekend on the way to visit family in Kentucky, and that was fun. Mm-hmm. They only had four workers there, but two of them were not on the floor. They were doing other stuff. And then the two that they had on the floor were busy with actual paying customers, so I didn't bother them. But I was hoping to get a demo of those Wilson, I can't remember which ones they were, the Chronosonics, I think, ridiculously, $350,000 per pair of speakers. But then they also had the Focal Sopra. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is the Sopra, do they have different models or just Sopra?
Sopra one is the like bookshelf. Then the two is the big, and then three is the biggest one.
Yeah. So I had that. Let me ask, did they recognize you at all?
What do you think?
I don't know.
No, heck no.
Hold on. One second. That's hilarious, though. How many people review speakers? Not a lot. It's not like a ton of people are reviewing speakers. So like you would think that if you were in that space and, you know, you sell speaker stuff, you may have gone online and probably ran into, you know, I mean, how many speakers have you reviewed? A ton.
Yeah. You would think at some point probably came across mine, y'all, somebody's, you know what I mean? I get it. But he also, and he's a super nice guy, but he lost me when he was like, he was talking about one of the amps and he said, yeah. And I mean, it sounds pretty good, even though it's class D. And I was like, oh, all right. Nope. We got that. Oh, I know what I'm dealing with now.
So he didn't recognize you. That's cool. But
yeah, no, he did not know who I was.
Was he trying to sell you on stuff? Like,
no. I mean, every time I go into places and
stuff, that'd be hilarious.
No, every time I go into places like that, I always tell them straight up, like, I'm not here to buy anything. I'm just here to look. And they're cool. He let me into their demo room or their high. They've got one demo room that you have to have a worker to go in with you. So he let me in there, but somebody was already demoing those speakers. And he was like, well, when this guy gets done, I'll let you in here and you can check them out. Well, that guy left. The salesman was helping with somebody else and I didn't want to bother him. So I just went in and took off too, but
yeah,
it was nice. It was cool.
So they paid attention to you. They kind of like,
yeah. It was I'd have been there to buy something, it'd have been, you know, he would have, but I told him straight up. I was like, I'm just here looking at stuff, man. I'm, you know, just wanted to show my daughter what high-end audio costs. And so I was showing her like the different amps that were 20,000. And then I showed her the speakers and she was like the $350,000 one. I pointed at the tag. She's like, oh my gosh.
So do you think that if you would have said, I'm here, I'm interested in buying something, that you would have gotten more attention?
I don't know. I mean, he already had paying customers that were in front of him. They were asking about receivers and stuff. So he was trying to help them.
Okay.
And then the other guy had already helped somebody and he was in the process of selling, like, you know, finishing up the sale and stuff like that. But the people who were buying something, I think they bought some Revel speakers.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've run a retail business before, and if somebody comes in and says, oh, I'm just looking around,
you're talking to them.
I don't treat them as if, like, oh, well, I'm going to ignore them for sure.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to give them equal attention to somebody who says, hey, I'm here to buy something.
Yeah, he didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. I think that if he hadn't had the other people that were already there before I got there, that he would have gladly walked me around and showed me whatever. Because I've gone in there a few times. And I remember one time I went in there. This was probably like 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. I spent probably 45 minutes in there with one of their salesmen. And we were just talking the whole time. He was letting me get demos in each of the different rooms. And it was pretty cool. He used to be an old car audio judge. We got to talk about Iasca. Right. And he was like, yeah, I used to judge Iasca in the early 90s. So then we had that going.
Crazy. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything. I've never been to this place. So I'm not saying this is, I'm only saying that the way I like to do it is treat everybody well. You don't know that maybe they're not buying something that day. Maybe not that moment. Right. Maybe they're coming back another time and they're going to remember how you treated them the last time. Maybe. And, or they're there to steal, in which case they want you to leave them alone.
Yeah. Like, I was there to do
I'm
that.
I'm looking around. So that, you know what I mean?
Just looking.
Yeah. I walked in. I was just like, I'm casing the joint.
That's it. Bad Magic Bean. So what's it's just tangentially off of that. Okay. I was at Best Buy again. This time I brought my Atmos mixes on a USB drive. And so I walked in the door and somebody's like, I actually needed to buy a couple of network cables because I'm expanding the setup here. I have a home theater tour video coming out tomorrow. So you guys get to see what this the hot garbage setup is now turned into. Anyway, as I walk into Best Buy, they're like, oh, how can I help you? I'm like, oh, I really would like to get a demo in your Dolby Atmos room. Do you have one of those? I already know they do. She said, oh, hold on. And then I'm like, yeah, cool. I'll make my way back there. I got to get some network cables. So I go to the networking guy. And then somebody comes walking by. He's like, are you Chana? Are you, did you want that demo? I'm like, yeah. Go in there. And he's like, so what are you looking to buy? I'm like, nothing, man. I pulled out my USB stick. I'm like, I want to hear my custom Atmos mixes in an app. He's like, I don't know if we can do that.
I'm like, I think you might be planning something.
Who?
You have a virus on the USB.
Oh, yeah.
One of those ones that like blow stuff up. Have you seen those?
Oh no, what?
Like it'll short out stuff. Like there's like
EMP,
a capacitor in there.
Bomb, huh?
You've seen those? There's like a capacitor in there with a ton of energy stored. You plug it in, like just fries electronics.
Oh, that's lame.
It's a thing.
Nothing like that. You know, just the standard issue Technodad Atmos mixes. So I went in and he's like, I don't know if we can play something like that. I'm like, no, you got a Sony SES-1000 Blu-ray player. It'll play. And then they're like, I'm like, do you have a remote control? He's like, we're using a Savant system. So it's on this iPad. And I'm like, go to the Blu-ray. He's like, okay, Blu-ray. I'm like, hit left or right. And all of a sudden the cursor moves over. Boom. I'm like, oh, that's it. So we played. He's like, you know, we can't do this for you like all the time, you know. So we like listened to like half of each song, and then I ran the subwoofer test because they had a 2 15-inch rails. As soon as we got to like 20 hertz, we couldn't hear anything. But somebody did. I was in there the other day. And I was just in the Blu-ray section and somebody comes up to me and says, you looking to get a movie for your next video? And I'm like, huh? I looked at the guy. I was like, do I know you? He's like, no, man. I watch the channel. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I work in there. A guy named Aaron, oddly enough.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yes. But with two A's, I think.
Oh, he spells it wrong, then.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's all right.
Hey, you know, it wasn't his decision.
Yeah.
Maybe your parents spelled it wrong. Ooh.
Hey, man. The girl at the counter when I went out to eat the other day asked my name, and I told her it was Aaron, and she spelled it A, just one A, R-O-N. I was like, gosh, this is terrible. It's getting
worse. Like that.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to show some pictures.
You got some pictures.
Yeah, I thought it would be
cool. Oh, Fred wants to see the Macintosh one, bro. I think Fred likes that one.
Blue.
Just for Fred. That one. He's right. Loving it. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, Hi-Fi Buys, Nashville, Tennessee.
JL Audio, okay.
Some big, huge Krail amp that they had sitting there. I thought I'd snap a picture of.
Krail?
Huge. Macintosh.
That's my friend's favorite right there.
MC352.
Favorite right there.
Let me do this.
There, that's he wants to zoom in.
Zoom there. In.
Can we zoom in?
Can I zoom in? Oh, that's hilarious.
Zoom in. Oh, there you go, Fred. All right, let's back out. Keep going. Oh, they had a JBL synthesis room. This was it. Okay, so they're the number. They're the twos, right? Because those aren't the big old Focals, right?
Which one? Oh, okay, so
these white ones. They got to be the twos, right?
No. These are the threes.
Are they the threes?
Yeah, they're the $30,000 or $25,000, something like that.
I don't know which Revel this one was. It's probably the 328s, I suppose. I couldn't remember because some guy was listening to all this stuff, so he was facing these speakers.
Yeah, I think those are the Sober threes.
Okay, and then
on the price tag right there or no?
I couldn't. I don't think it'll zoom in far enough. I can try it.
Just move it over.
Enhance.
I see five digits.
Yeah. Enhance.
Those are the enhance. Yeah, like they do in all these movies. Can you hit the enhance button? And then it just enhances everything automatically. And everything
that's actually a thing now with AI, though. Yeah. Like, it actually does.
Mm-hmm. All right, $350,000 pair of speakers, this ridiculous thing right here. And I don't even know what these amps cost, but probably a lot. And this is another room that they had their stuff set up in. I thought was neat. And this is the other wall. Paradigm, Sonus Faber, and then Wilson Audio.
Mm. Looks like a casket.
Yeah.
You're going to die when 19.7.
Oh, there we go. Enhance.
Each, right?
Yeah. 19.7 a pair for the Wilson Audio. Sonus Faber is 5,000 a pair, and then the Paradigm is 6,000 each.
All right.
Which I'm like, why didn't they just put that as a pair? That threw me off. Like, you got pair for everything else.
Yeah. They do that. Make it look like more value, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to multiply this by two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was cool. And Martin Logan and the Keith Arth 7 Meta. And this was neat. I like this Yamaha and I like this NAD. That's the one I like the most. I think I might want to try to buy one of these soon.
That's a new thing's awesome. So you say NAD?
NAD.
Okay. I was going to just say.
I just say NAD because I don't want to go NAD.
There's definitely end on there.
Yeah.
Then you're saying NADs.
NADs. And that might be it. Oh, yep.
And that's just more
Macintosh. Anything there sound like
crazy? I didn't get to hear anything because the salesmen were busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But let me see here.
Can you hit the enhance button? That's what she said. And
there we go. That's that NAD. I think that thing is gorgeous. I don't care what y'all think. Look.
Okay, I'll give that one a
lights. It looks pretty cool. It's got that retro feel.
Yeah. And then it has Blue OS if you pay for the upgraded version. Yeah, HDMI, all that kind of stuff. You know. I'm tempted to buy one.
E-Arc, Joe. It's got E-Arc.
Yeah, that's cool.
But they are out of stock everywhere for that particular one. If you get the $1,400 model that doesn't have Blue OS, then that one's in stock. But the one that has Blue OS.
How much more is that?
No, you probably want Blue OS on any NAD, any Lenbrook product. Like that's what makes it.
Have to have it.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just waiting for somebody to get it back in stock. And then I'll see what I can do.
A NAD because NAD because junior high.
Yeah, exactly. NAD.
NAD.
What else?
Oh,
Revolution Player, you had something queued up there?
Yeah. You guys get the little sneak peek here.
Revolution.
I filmed the intro to go as fast as an unboxing can ever go. So that's pretty much it. It's it took hours for the silly thing to get all of the what do you call it? That's it. It took hours for it to scan all the movies and stuff like that. Oh, luckily, I was able to. One of the hard drives I grabbed on my fleeing out of my home Had a whole bunch of movies on there. So that was good. It had my Oro 3D ISOs. It had all the demo disc ISOs. And the new RVideo app recognized all the demo discs and put the proper pictures to it. I'm like, oh, that's
looks pretty good.
Yeah,
like the interface and all that looks pretty good. The
interface looks good. It's snappy. Some load times for the artwork still a little slow. Playing ISO files though, really good on some. One which took a while, so maybe it just has issues with that one. Maybe that's the one that one Paul has.
You have a review coming soon on that?
Yeah, I got a video coming up. But I mean, it's not a review. It's just kind of like, yeah, I guess it's a review. It's like, it works. I'm like, what else? It's like the Arendals. Okay, they're
good.
They're good.
They make sound.
Yeah, whatever.
That's the thing that you said, Aaron. You're like, I don't know what to say about these because they just do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My comments on your video was that, you know, that's the biggest compliment you can give to a speaker, though. When it's not about the speaker and you're just like listening to music, you're like, damn, I just want to hear music. I just want to listen to music.
Yeah.
And you find yourself like forgetting I'm supposed to review this thing. And you're just like, oh, I haven't heard this in a while. And you just started to listen to music. That's like the biggest compliment you can give a speaker.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it just gets out of the way. get out of the way. Let me listen to the music.
So I mean, it works. I got a few discs, a few Blu-ray, 4K Blu-rays from Best Buy that time I went over there. Thor: Love and Thunder was on sale. Man, I gotta tell you, man, that shit was funny, bro. Like, it was
based on that one. That had some good bass on that one.
I also ended up watching on streaming Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So that was cool. The Dead Reckoning, I wanted to really get Dead Reckoning on 4K Blu-ray to hear if I could see if I could hear a difference between the Apple TV Voodoo 4K version and then the Blu-ray disc. Other than that, I got a whole bunch of stuff done here. I got a new rack. And I got this guy. This is the Denon AV. This is the Denon. What Denon is it? Denon AVS3.
It's a new AVR right there.
This is the new Denon Micro AVR, right?
That's all they should be now.
All you need are these inputs and the one output, and that's it. That's it. You know, it's a processor to destroy all processors. No kidding.
It's Class D. It sounds all right, even though it's Class D. Just kidding.
It's Class D, Aaron. This guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. It can't be any good.
This is a HDMI switcher for the 4K 120. They made this when the Denon's like the 6700H that I have. It only has the one 8K input. So now I can have Xbox, PlayStation, and gaming PC on this, and then one output going into the single 8K port. There's a little switcher and a remote control. So if I really want to get to the nitty gritty, I can have my Harmony remote learn this guy and then do like this full on activities using the switch, because I'm running out of HDMI's quick style. So yeah.
Let's see, what else am I getting in? I still have some more Arendelle speakers to make videos about.
Arendelle.
You've got more?
I don't know if that's correct, man. I don't trust ChatGPT when it comes to that.
Don't do that. Yeah,
I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and then who cares?
I think there'll be an idea. You can search for it.
So Fosse Audio, you know, they make inexpensive, like, Class D amps. From what I hear, they're, you know, they measure pretty well. I don't measure amplifiers because I don't have the tools to do that. But I have one of their amps. I have some of their stuff. And they emailed me. They're like, hey, you want to check out this new monoblock? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. You know, I still owe you guys videos for the other stuff you sent. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to take any, like, I owe you videos. Like, you've sent me stuff and I still need to make videos on them. They're like, All right, here's the tracking number. We sent you two.
No.
Hey, I gave him a fair warning. I said, I'm very busy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to send it. That's on them.
Well, you know, Joe's got beans on the brain. You know, that's all.
I'm busy, man. But anyway, they're going to send these. I feel like I should at least take a look at it and see what's up. Fosse Audio ZA3. The next generation balanced dual mode Class D amplifier. Oh, sounds all right, even though it's Class D. I don't know.
Yeah, even though it's Class D.
Even though it's Class D. XLR input, so that's kind of cool.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Well, it's
I like how all of them kind of look like that, how Apple does it. You know what I mean? All these squares.
Oh, yeah, like Apple. Well, I mean,
I don't know about that. That sounds like a
large power.
It's a TPA 3255. I have that in one of their apps that they send me. I mean, does a trick. I don't know about like the noise level. I don't know about any of this stuff. Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. Japanese capacitors. Okay. All right. I don't know what any of this stuff means.
Guys. German capacitor. Japanese.
I don't know what that stuff means. Oh, German capacitors.
Okay. Okay. Remember that scene?
Hey, what the heck? It has a 12 volt trigger in. That's kind of cool. Hold on a second. 12 volt trigger is kind of handy if you wanted to use these, let's say, to expand your system and do like a height. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times you have, you know, 11 channels of processing or 13 channels of processing, but 11, right? Isn't that a thing?
My Denon 6700 is just like that. Yeah.
So you need an extra two channels and you're like, oh, okay. What I usually do is I have their, I don't know, I don't remember the model number. Sorry, Fosse. But I have one of theirs, but it's such low power that I just leave it on.
Mm.
I don't even bother turning it off, but if it could turn off, that's better. I'd rather use those energy.
Those inputs aren't just XLR. You know that, right? That's a combo jack.
So yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's TRS. Which also means you can go, like, for your example, my Denon 6700H has RCA output. So you could get a pair of RCA to TRS. Mm-hmm. Or you could get the RC, like cables, you know, with one on a with those terminations. Or if you have two RCA to RCA, you can just get a an adapter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might work. You might degrade the sound a little bit.
That HTP one that I have is XLR output, so I can just go XLR to XLR.
Yep,
that's pretty cool. I get why there's why these exist. What is a sub out? I wonder if that has any filtering or if it's just a copy of the other ones. Like a mono copy of the.
Oh, look! They do have RCA in, so you can do TRS. So you can use
RCA. Okay, so straight up, no adapter.
Yeah.
But here, I guess they're so stereo or mono.
Stereo or mono. So, I see.
Am I gonna feel like a straight up audiophile to have like two mono blocks? Am I gonna be a super audiophile?
Dude, the tiny mono block.
Should I just do stereo on one, but one input? I wonder if you could do that. And then what is it? Biamp. Is that a thing?
Okay. Could I do that? Vertical biamp? Yeah, you could do that. You could bring out all the sound
that I never heard from the speakers.
So you do one mono block for the low left side, then one mono block for the left side high frequency, then another mono block for the right side low, and then
there you go. So that sounds pretty cool. Mini mono blocks. It just sounds cool. I don't know. It realistically, it sounds to me that it's just a way to get like channel imbalance to honestly, like, oh, one's a little bit louder than the other, and then I'm gonna have to change something. But I still, it looks cool. The idea is cool. I'm all for it. What kind of? Oh, they have speakers. Anyway, this is it. I don't know. I guess they're sending it.
Okay. Separated digital.
You know what? I've switched op amps on this one. I had this one amp sent to me a long time ago that was pretty expensive. And then, you know, I was able to switch out the op amps, and they had one that's supposed to sound like vintage. Mm. And it changed the sound, but I didn't have any way of measuring what it did. It sounded different, but it was hard to explain why. You know what I mean? Anyway, that's it. This looks pretty cool. I'm down to check it out. What else? So people have been asking about Magic Beans. Is that in the comments here? Magic Beans, I'm currently in private beta. So I've selected a handful of people I know who I know will give me good feedback, right? And because the thing is, they have to test it. Like, you actually have to use it and try to calibrate your system, and it might be wrong, so you're gonna have to recalibrate. It's not at the level where I want to release it to thousands of people.
Yeah, because then he's gonna get thousands of people being like, shit's broke.
Yeah,
what's going on? You know, you gotta be prepared. I mean, what did I do? I pulled a boneheaded move on Saturday. Okay, I spent all this time, and I forgot to run the speakers full range at the beginning of it, and I didn't realize until I measured everything. And I'm filming it, and I have the from the HDMI on the computer to another computer to do a screen capture, so you can see the app and me on the screen all the whole time. And man. It was just so, I was just like, I was so defeated. I'm like,
so the thing is, that's my fault, right? That's my fault because it should be in the instructions and almost like check boxes. Did you do this?
Yeah. Did you do this? Yeah.
It has to be foolproof, right? But it's not yet, right? Not
full. Fool. F-O-O-L.
It's got to be foolproof. And that's my responsibility, right? And that's why I'm saying it's not ready for the general public yet. But, you know, some of you guys who are testing it, these are like the more advanced guys that, you know, they're in REW already, right? So they can give me very good feedback about what's working, what's not working. And so that's the stage that it's in right now. We have our Discord group, or, you know, we can go and kind of compare notes and see if the process is good. We're still even making slight tweaks to the process, you know, how it's calculating the filters and things like that. So we want to just have the best possible
product.
You know, software. Best product, possible product for you guys. But it's very close. I could release it. You know what I mean? I could release it, but it's just asking for headache.
Yeah.
I'd rather release as close to a perfect product as I can. But in my video where I'm explaining how it works, and also in the Arendelle video, people were saying, oh yeah, you know, why didn't you unplug all the ports? Because we were complaining about the base. They're like, why didn't you unplug all the ports? That would give you the most bass, wouldn't it? Like,
no, but it doesn't.
Yeah, that sounds like it sounds good, but that's not how that works.
Once you actually start getting it going, yeah.
What I'm surprised about, though, is how confident people are, and even though they're wrong, in the comments. Like, they're so confident, they go in there, they explain it, and I'm like, this person, you are very wrong, but man, you sound so confident. I don't even want to destroy it. I just let it chill. I'm not even gonna try to fix it. I'll just let it stand.
Hopefully
nobody believes it, but
yeah. You know, there was one guy commented on the video we did at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's just ridiculous. And I was like, which part? The way you're measuring that, it's just ridiculous. It's like, okay. Oh,
because they don't like the moving mic. A lot of people have an issue with the moving mic.
Yeah.
They're saying stuff like
it creates all this, it adds wind noise.
Bro, I don't know if you see how fast I'm not whipping that thing out like,
well, and you're like doing this.
Set it up. I even said speed 2x, and it's and then they're saying like stuff about like, oh, Doppler effect. You know, they're naming all.
Oh, it went limp.
You think I'm moving this thing? It went limp. And then just, you know, I think a lot of people just don't understand that, you know, it's a spatial average. That yeah, there you will see some of the issues, but it all kind of averages out. It's a new thing, so I expect people to have questions about it. But these people aren't coming in with questions.
No,
it's not like they're coming in like, hey, how does this work? It's more they're coming in like,
that's
let me tell you why that's a silly thing to do.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like,
okay. Haven't you guys been doing moving mic method for car audio for a long time? I mean, it's not new there. It's only new here. Yeah. Anyway. I mean,
Charles Sprinkle, the guy from Cali, right? The engineer.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best affordable speakers I've ever reviewed, the Cali Audio stuff. I mean, he must know something. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't think he's qualified enough to.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. He's like that Class D amplifier.
Yeah, but he uses Class D amplifiers.
He don't know what he's doing. How do you feel about that, Aaron?
I love you, bro.
What is your response to somebody who goes into your comments and is really just wrong? Like, a lot of times it's just It's not debatable. It's like this person's saying something wrong, but they're so confident. All fools are confident. Yeah.
It's true.
What do you do? Do you try to correct them? Because I'm starting to think it's not worth it to correct them because they're not coming in with an open mind.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of just depends. I mean, I'm trying to think. Sometimes I'll just say no. I'll just be like, no.
No.
That's it. I'm just like, no.
Really?
And then sometimes I'll explain. And then sometimes I'm just like, I'm not even going to reply. Mm-hmm. If somebody is a total jerk hole, then I will delete their comment. But if they're wanting to learn, then I don't mind trying to explain. But yeah, you get a lot of that. It's hard to know what somebody's actually there for to do. And then a lot of times people, I'll just let their, like recently I've had a few different comments where they're just very matter of factly like, this is this. And it's just like, well, I disagree, but I don't have time to get involved in the internet debate because I've got other things to do.
You got life to do. But I mean, majority of the times they are just regurgitating what they heard from somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
They don't know anything they're saying. I like this. Yeah. I was going to use this audio advice live. Well, I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Yeah, I'm wrong so often. It's crazy how often. But because I can admit it, I'm not wrong for a long period of time. Yeah. I'm wrong for a short period of time, and then I fix it, and I correct it, and then I'm no longer wrong.
Yeah,
that makes perfect
sense. Moving mic method is nice. I'm always moving around the couch. Moving around on the couch, spatial average works great for that. Yeah, like when we are measuring from the MLP, do you watch a movie like this? Like that microphone that single position like this? Are you right? Or are you like this? Oh, and then you recline. Now you're over here, and then you put the headrest up.
Yeah.
One of these, right? Or sometimes you're just like, nail biter, like that scene in Top Gun Maverick when they're doing the thing, and then they're going the ding, and then they're doing the roll, and you're like, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Like, where? Like, so the one, or like, okay, the five microphone positions. Should that be what Denon has? And Denon and Marantz, you know, they have a couch, and it's a mute. Position 1, 2, 3. Maybe they should have a guy there doing different positions as they're seated. You know, like how it is in real life, because you're not sitting in that position the entire time. And then we also have to understand that the ears, you got one central, I'll use my knife. We got one central microphone right here facing up. Is it, where's my ear? Right here? Or is it here and here? Right?
It's by your nose.
Yeah, it's right in front of my nose, right? That's where my ears are. So, yeah. You know.
Oh, can't share that screen. Okay. But I have a message that I sent here to Reverend Slim here. We're always arguing about something. But he was saying, hey, you should turn that headroom expansion off, you know, on Multi QX. I had it on. And I said, why does it matter, dude? Like, who cares? Anyway, I tried it and it does make a difference.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what I do. I try things. Like, I try it. But then it made a difference. And I said, I hate it when you're right. But thanks. I hate it when you're right, but thanks. That's how it should be, right? Be willing to be wrong. Take a chance sometimes, right?
Chance on me.
But anyway, what else do we got? Are we doing,
what's up else on your list? We got some starred comments. We'll get to those in a
second. Let's go to starred because we're over an hour. So
okay. Any good? Oh, we already did that, Bodie. Did anyone watch Leave the World Behind? The Atmos mix seems decent, especially after a helping friend calibrated. There's a system with the SACD. Okay, cool. No, I haven't. That's one of the ones I want to check out because everybody's been talking about it. Even Reverend Slim here said has a great Atmos mix.
Netflix. Real quick, we did get an email about somebody with all ceiling speakers?
No, it's a review. It's a review on our
disc. Review on our
three-star review.
On our 3 stars instead of 5, right? Out of 5, 3 out of 5. And so the person said that they have all ceiling speakers, but how many speakers?
7.1.4, all in ceiling.
Not the subs.
Yeah, well, not the subs, but I mean, okay. So the ear level speakers aren't at ear level. They're all in the ceiling along with the ceiling speakers, the Atmos channels or high channels is what I gathered from that comment. And he said something about, I wish your disc had that configuration in there. And yeah, I don't know. Why would we have that configuration?
I told Tim, you know what? A good response would just be there's physical limitations and no room correction is going to make it sound like it's not coming from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like it's going to always sound like that. And maybe our toolkit will help point out why that might be an issue. You know, when you hear something that's coming from ear level and it goes up, it's just going to stay.
It's gonna go from one speaker to another up in the ceiling.
He needs the opposite of the upfiring Atmos. He needs a downfiring
down from the floor kind of deal. That's right. Will Magic Bean's True Target be compatible with Direct Live on the Onkyo RZ50?
100%, because Direct Live gives you an option to set a target response curve, and that's what Magic Beans does. We have it in a format that's easy to import, so yes.
Cool. And I was just talking it over with Joe, and you know some people call me Mr. AVR because I have so many of these silly things. So I do have that? Huh?
Who calls him that?
Nobody. I'm making it up.
Oh, well then that's disappointing.
What happened? That rimshot just didn't.
What are you trying to do?
It played half the sample that has no sound. So basically, I have the Denon. So I'm making a Magic Beans video about using it with the Denon. But I also have the Sony's new AVR 9 channel. I have the Arcam AVR 11, which has Dirac. I have the Yamaha
Remix
8 and I got a couple of Marantzes, but those are all the same. I had to leave the Pioneer behind, so I don't have the Pioneer, and that's a lower end one. So I wish, you know, maybe. Anyway, I'm gonna try and I'm gonna attempt to do Magic Beans on all of those and have all of those on my channel, so you guys will know step by step what to do, where to go in the menus, that kind of thing. But you know, it's gonna take a little time.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
What else we got?
Let's see. For 24 foot wide room, should I use monopole or bipole speakers for left and right surround bed level? Pros and cons. It's a good question. 24 foot wide. Damn.
Yeah.
I would go maybe with the bipole.
Well, I think you're supposed to use
wide.
I don't know, for left and right surround, you're supposed to have direct sound coming from.
For Atmos, yeah. But I mean,
that's what they recommend.
Yeah, you think it would
fix the fact that it's not, you know, the room is so wide? I mean, seems to me that you'd want more direct. Maybe play with towing it. You know, it doesn't have to point directly at you. Maybe mess around with aiming it also.
Like those Arendelles?
Forward, backwards, yeah.
Don't say Arendelle.
Arendelle.
Not that city in...
Yeah, I mean, bipole, they used to say it was okay for what? Like, was it ProLogic? I don't know if they allowed it for 5.1, but I think after when they got to... Atmos, they're recommending
their monopole single face speaker. Mm-hmm. Okay, Manuel Diaz says, last month about the SACT digital, and I'm satisfied. Could you add more explanation in the full guide for rookies like me? Is there anything in particular that you want us to add?
Yeah, let me know anything in particular, because that thing is already pretty long. I thought it was pretty detailed enough.
Some pages. It started out as like 2 pages, and then we went to like 20. I was like, damn, all right. Randy says got the SACT a few weeks back. Highly recommend. My Atmos channels are superb now. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Did you try the HTP one yet? Well, we already answered that. What's up with the fireworks, bro?
I don't know. I'm trying different things.
Direct Live does speaker and amplitude phase correction. Odyssey and only amplitude. Correct or not?
Amplitude and phase correction. I would say that's really Dirac's thing to do the phase correction all the way through. I can't say that Odyssey doesn't do any phase correction when it comes to like trying to blend the main speakers with the sub. but I don't think it's trying to do it the entire way through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the main difference. But yeah, I would say that's correct.
Okay. Next thing here we have, still no price range for Magic Beans. Well, I mean, considering Durak's new offering, I don't know. I'd have to boost it up, bro. I don't know.
Yeah. No, not yet.
Yeah. What would we need to make Magic Beans? You mic and cell phone?
That'll work.
If you guys were wondering, the magic wand setup, here it is, right here. Oopsie, boom! I already have to go for a video, as you can see. So this is what you'll need. You'll need
the magic wand setup. That's
funny. Yeah, we call it the magic. Called it the magic wand.
That's pretty good.
Might as well. Oh, it didn't. It didn't. Oh, that's second.
Ooh, the magic mic.
The magic mic. Hey. We might get hit by copyright for that one.
That's true.
Oh, unless it's MIC, right? Magic Mike.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Beautiful. Yeah. That works.
Expecto Patronum. great.
I get it. Reverend Slim says, between the full guide, the video tutorials, and Discord, I think SAC instructions are covered. Yeah, that's true. We have a lot of folks in there helping out.
If you are having issues with running or wanting to know about running the SACT with your system, definitely go and make sure you're part of the Discord, the owner's Discord. There's a little leaflet, or you should have gotten a link if you did digital. You got a link about joining the Discord. People like Reverend Slim are in there a whole lot. And gotta give it up to Jeremy for being in there. Thank you so much, man. You tackle so many questions in there that, like, you know, I don't have
Jeremy. Mad love for Jeremy.
For sure.
That's a little bit too glowy, though. I don't know about
that much. Parts.
That's a little too much. I'll give you a thumbs up. It's good.
Samuel Hooks, thank you for the $2 super chat. We appreciate it. If you have a question, we'd be happy to answer it. Thank you for that. It helps the channel move on.
Thank you.
Pays for Tim. Videos, yeah, had the birthday.
Balloons.
What is this doing there? What's happening? Oh, it's raining. Hey, today it actually rained for like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was actually pretty surprised. Southern California winter, barely.
Oh yeah, thank you for the super chat. Mm-hmm. I was messing around, but yeah, thank you, Samuel. Appreciate it. Yep. That's it. That's all I got. Anything you want to talk about before we go?
Man, I don't have anything.
Any news?
I got to review a speaker. That's all I got to do.
Can you say what speaker? No,
I can. It's the MoFi Source Point 8.
All right. Do you have access to it or not yet?
Huh?
I know you give early access.
Patreon. Yeah. Patreon has access to the data already. I haven't done the video yet. It's a good speaker, man. I actually like it a lot. To me, it sounds a lot better than the MoFi Source Point 10, because the 10 has lifted treble, QDB. And that's the one thing I didn't like about the 10. Doesn't get as low as the 10, but I like it more. So it's more of a neutral speaker overall, in my opinion, at least. Well, according to the data and in my opinion.
What are you using to power it? Is it some sort of Class D situation?
Yeah, it's a class. Well, it's a tri-path amp. Okay. Yeah, and it's like class like Z or something like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's probably not that good, actually.
I heard those with a very fancy, very expensive Hi-Fi Rose amp, and I was cranking it and the amp started clipping because they had it in 200 watt mode instead of 400 watt mode.
Robert, yeah. I'm actually listening to it with the Macintosh MC462 that I'm supposed to send back at some point, but they haven't sent me any of the information yet to get it back to them.
I'm like, right, because I'm sure shipping is not cheap on that.
Heck no. That ain't nowhere. Man, she ain't going to clip.
MC462, huh?
Yeah.
Damn. 10,000.
Yeah, I asked him if I could buy it, and he sent me a quote back, and I said, I'll just go ahead and send it back to you.
It's like 9,500. There you go.
Yeah, they retail for. Yeah, yeah. He said retail's 10,000, and here's your price. I was like, Okay, thanks. Never mind.
What is Robert says, hey, I want to test something. Can you give a quick shout out to my daughter, Vivi?
Hi, Vivi. What's up?
Hello.
Shout out to you.
Shout out to Vivi and Robert. What's up? That was easy. That was an easy
question. What was the test?
I don't know. Maybe he's updating us or something like that.
I'm kind of curious what the test is.
I have an RMC1. Do y'all know of any low price number of multi-channel amps? Any suggestions? Yeah. So Joe's got some OSDs. Oh, look.
Yep.
It's a test to see how awesome you guys are. Dude, that's easy.
Well, you know.
It's easy. Even Angela's in on the party.
Yeah. Yeah. What else?
CES.
CES, go ahead and talk about that.
I just got a word. Macintosh and Sonos Faber are putting up something there. It's supposed to be the first. Am I not supposed to talk about that? Oh, well, I don't even know.
I don't know.
But Oro 3D, I just found out it's going to be there. So hopefully they tell me where they're going to be. Because I
see if you can find them, dude.
Me and Elon spent like a good hour and a half like looking for them. If so, garbage. Odyssey, the headphone manufacturer that does the planar magnetics, they're going to be there. So I just got to sign up for that kind of stuff. The VV section. Oh, like VIP. should have said the VIP.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that you couldn't find the Oro thing because, like, seriously, when it comes down to it, it's like, yeah, we were big proponents of Oro 3D. They should be finding you, man.
I know.
They should be calling you, hey, you need to get over here. They should be whining and dining you and whatever you want to eat. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah. Instead, I find out about it on their Instagram account. I commented just now or like yesterday. I'm like, hey, where are you guys going to be at? I don't care about what you just tell me right now so I can be there. Like, good Lord. I don't know why it's so hard for people that want marketing to not actually want to market. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I got a new camera set up. I can do a lot of video. Hey, you know what was really cool?
Huh.
One company hit me up because, you know, I'm in the press thing for CES. There's a company that their device takes moisture out of the air and creates up to 10 gallons of water. Can you believe that? I'm like, wait, I had to read it like three times. Like, you take moisture out of the air and then creates water. What does that mean? Does it take hydrogen?
I don't know. Isn't that what an air conditioner kind of does?
Air and then add oxygen to it and blah, bam, we've got water. Like, are we really in this kind of like, it's something to do with like, you know, I'm like, wow, we can make water out of air.
There, Tim says Oro CX delivers scalable quality channel count, sample rate, and objects in all in one powerful bitstream. So, what is that? Kind of like a compressed version of Oro 3D? Is that what it is? Delivering? Okay, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Anyway, I think we're good.
What was that?
Look at my studio lighting. It look fake.
It does look fake.
I don't know. No, nothing.
No, not really.
How about if I blur the background even?
Somebody
more?
Calling?
No, I just keep getting all these notifications of stuff coming in for presents that I've ordered.
Why is it so blurry behind you, man?
I don't know, because I put on this portrait mode.
Ugh.
Yeah, nah.
Your face is blurring out.
You look like an alien. Yeah. So I'm going to join here the Daily Hi-Fi crew, crew.dailyhifi.com, if you want to join and hang out with us afterwards. What else? Yeah. Shop.dailyhifi.com if you're interested in some merch, and it's a way to support the channel. And if you want to just listen to audio-only version, go to anchor.fm/dailyhifi. And that's it.
That's it. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. We do this every Monday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And we will not be here on Christmas Day next Monday. The following Monday, New Year's Day, January 1st, we might be here. So keep us on your radar. I know CES is the following week, so I gotta get ready for all that kind of stuff. But on behalf of myself, Aaron, and Joe, thank you all for hanging out. And
see ya.
Can't wait to see you next time.
Peace. See ya
later.
Holla. Bye.